Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, David.
Is anybody here this morning who's not tired? Heather wins the prize. Welcome to our service at the Vines this morning. If you're watching online, welcome to you also. 3 weeks to Christmas. Whew! Where has this year gone? And our journey in Advent has commenced. Two of my favourite passages of scripture that I think of this time of year are both from Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And then in chapter 9 of Isaiah, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And at this stage in my life, the great wonder of those two passages is that that Prince of Peace has taken up residence in our lives. Beautiful thing to remember this time of year. Beautiful thing to remember every day. Fiona and Jen are going to light the Advent candles for us this morning.
The second Sunday of Advent is about making space in our hearts to listen to God. It's the candle of peace. As we travel closer to Christmas Day throughout Advent, we recognise that God has been present with humanity since creation. Adam and Eve walked in the garden with God. Before humanity's, our lives became filled with busyness, self-importance and fear. Like Adam and Eve, we lose focus. We want to rule our own lives and the lives of others. But if only we take the time to stop and listen. The beauty of creation lost in the hubris of modern life. Walking with God in the garden. Making time, making space in our hearts and heads to listen to God. The first candle reminds us hope comes from choosing to love. We light the second candle to make space in our hearts to listen to God.
Lord Jesus, we open our hearts to you. Fill us with your love and peace so we can let go of the things that we carry with us that cause us pain. Enable us this Christmas to be a time when we can make space to hear you, to remember your presence in the beauty of creation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Beautiful.
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 Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Truly hold that image before us today and tomorrow and as we head towards Christmas. Help us to be people, Lord, who have a sense of wonder and a sense of you being the one who is the wonderful, the Counselor, the Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In our lives today, this moment, and every day. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us and all that we are in and through and because of you. Jesus, Lord and Saviour. Amen. Please take your seats.
I'm not sure if this was meant to frighten me off and tell me not to say what I'm about to say, but I'm going to read you a little poem called Genesis. In the Garden of Eden long ago, Adam and Eve didn't know the difference between evil and good. God had created a man named Adam, from whose rib he next made Madam Eve, the founding mother of motherhood. Of womanhood, I should have said. The garden was inviting, luscious and green, all around, tempting ripe fruit could be seen. The tree of knowledge in the center stood. God had forbade them to eat these apples, but in the dappled light, Eve tried to grapple with such a command as any girl would. Eve looked with longing at the tree. Within the low branches, she could see a serpent slithering around the heartwood. With forked tongue, he enticed young Eve, both God and Adam, to deceive by telling her a terrible falsehood. Gullible Eve gulped down the fruit. Lovesick and heedless Adam followed suit. God exiled them from Eden. He'd said he would. Eve told Adam, if only God had kindly said, please don't. But he commanded instead a challenge to the first of the sisterhood.
Oh, look, the
what?
Tree of knowledge. God said we shouldn't eat from that, or we might die.
We might die. Oh, no.
But there's a serpent in the tree.
I can see him.
Did you hear what he said?
What? What did he say?
He said it's not true. He said, if we eat from that tree, we will become like God.
Where are you?
I heard you. We heard you walking in the garden. It must be God. We heard you walking in the garden, and we were afraid because we are naked.
Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?
I did. But the woman that you sent me here with, she made me do that.
Woman, what is this you have done?
I was tempted by the serpent, and I ate.
For this serpent, you will crawl on your belly and eat dust for the rest of your days, and there will be enmity between your offspring and woman's. Woman, I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And because you have not listened to your wife and eaten from the forbidden tree, cursed is the ground because of you. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. For dust you are, and to dust you will return.
Okay, kids, come down the front. Thanks very much. We've got a kids talk today. Oh, stick it here. Really, what I was going to do before was to do a bit of stretching. How many people need to do some stretching after yesterday's fate? Yeah, fair. Okay, so we heard the story of Adam and Eve, and through some decisions they made, they fell out of connection with God. So today, we're going to see if we can help Adam and Eve get back to God. We're going to see a few little distractions. All right, so. Oh, no, what happens if I go here? I get stuck, all right, so I have to go back here. What about down here?
Get stuck.
Oh, get stuck again, all right. What about if I go all the way around here? Nope. What about that? Nope.
Stuck
right way. Oh, go back up. Oh, I'm going to the snake. Here, we don't want to get near the snake. Look, what up? That way. Ooh. 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 Look, this one. Oh, okay, sorry. Just, all right, okay. What about if I go back up here? Oh, what do I need to do? Down here? Oh. 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 But what if I don't make it? But what if I don't get to the end? What if I never find God again? What if I can't do it?
Just have to try.
Okay, I'll just have to try. All right. Oh. Whee! Woohoo! Good job. So thank you very much. So part of the story you heard about Adam and Eve, they had some dramas, didn't they? Some things went wrong. And so sometimes, yeah, and so God still loved them and connected, but there's sometimes we've made it harder now to connect him with God. But it can be done. We just, have you say, keep trying. I like that. Don't go backwards. I like that too. So keep trying and don't go backwards. There's a message for today, people. Thank you very much. All right. You guys have got some Sunday school. Get cracking. Oh, or am I doing the communion first? Let me think. Let me just have a quick little... I'm going to do some notices. We're going to actually do communion before you guys head out to Sunday school. So that's my bad. Again, for notices, we had a... could you please put your hand up? I won't ask you to stand because you're probably a bit stiff and sore. If you were involved in yesterday at all, put your hand up if you're involved in faith. So you know, fantastic effort, everybody. It was a good job. Neil, did we have an update on what sort of financial benefits we generated?
$2,200.
And how many families and people did we connect with? Lots. It was really great. Good to be able to see that. That's really all the notices I have. We're going to do the offering, scripture reading, song, and we'll jump into communion, and then you guys can do something. Sorry about that. I don't know. What was I thinking? Old age. Old age.
Please stand. Come thou long expected Jesus, one to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth, God, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to a king, born to raise in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, by thine own sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Lord God, we praise you and thank you that you are a giving God. And Lord, thank you that we can give back to you. And so we bring to you now, Lord, our offerings of our finances and also of ourselves, Lord, and pray that you would use everything we bring, everything we are, to serve you and to serve the community in which we live and minister. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Please take your seats.
This morning's reading is from Genesis 1, chapter 26 to 31. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humans in his image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Second reading is from Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 13. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please remain seated while we sing.
Feed us now, bread of life, in this holy meal. Let us know your love anew. We hunger for you. Feed us now.
Today, as we prepare for communion, we remember that God really is present here. And I love that song because it's got such a rich imagery and invites us on a special journey to reconnect with the love of God in this place. So, when we gather here, we remember that 2,000 years ago almost, Jesus, before he was betrayed, had gathered with a small group of disciples. And as this picture so nicely points out, they would have had their families and friends and a whole pile of people there. And in that gathering, Jesus stopped and said, "This bread we've been eating is like my body broken for you. Eat and remember this." And then at the end of the meal, he took the cup and said, "This cup with its rich red wine is like my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And every time you gather together, I will be there in your midst." So today, that is what we do. We gather again, and Christ is present in our midst to reaffirm that love and response. We've got some standard responses that we have, so let's share these. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Hear and now God waits. Fill our hearts. to be the difference in the world for others. So our next slide invites us, when we're focusing on others, and yesterday was about others, really trying to wave the flag that we remain open, caring and committed to the lives of others. So, you know, no doubt when you got up and read the paper today or yesterday or turned the TV on sometime during the week, there was a situation or an image that caught your mind. So I'm going to lead us through a time of prayer where you have the opportunity to praying for others. And again, picture the scene, surround them with your love and commit them. Let's pray. Lord God, we think of the world in which we live. It's a very transparent world now. Things happen in the corners of the world that we know about very quickly. Lord, we think of the world in which we live and we pause and we pray for a country or a situation that has captured our heart. Whether it be conflict, whether it be people fighting for their rights and equality, whether it's poverty. Lord, we offer to you our prayers. And Lord, we think in the world of your body of Christ working in whatever ways it can, sometimes really well, other times tripping itself up. Lord, we know that as a group of people, we really try hard. And the reason we have our faith and connection with you is because you love us. And in our endeavors to care and reach out, we continue to ask for opportunities to make a difference. Again, I invite you to maybe think of some neighbors or someone that is around your area or a workmate or a family friend or someone that really needs a blessing this Christmas. Again, raise them up and we pray for them. Lord, finally, we think of ourselves. It's very easy sometimes to hear a story about Adam and Eve and just laugh at its simplicity. But when we dig a bit deeper, we see the blame and the shame that often goes hand in hand with so many people's lives today. Lord, whatever position we find ourselves, whether we feel naked and vulnerable, whether we feel ashamed or whatever it is that we might be feeling today, we offer our lives to you to be left here to be used by you. Again, I invite you to offer whatever prayers you need to pray today. Let's join together as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. This next slide I'm going to... One of the things I loved about that story from Genesis was about hearing God walking in the garden in the breeze of the evening. It's a beautiful, beautiful image. And it's a bit like creation. When was the last time you were in creation somewhere and thought, wow, gobsmacking? So here we have rocks. 1 Samuel 10 and 2. There's no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. A bit further on, there'll be a picture of some flowers. And again, as we come into this time of communion, I invite you to pause and open your life. Now, my communion stewards, I'd like you to come down the front. I think they're Kristen, and I think they're Marge. Thank you. As the Holy Spirit leads. So what we're going to do first is, yes, here's a pick up a clump. So as we continue to prepare ourselves, yes, you notice that Liam's not here today, and normally Leon organises these things. I hope you're feeling better, Leon and Daphne. So what we do is we are going to share together the meal. As it comes around, I invite you to hold the bread in your hand, and then together as a group, we will share that. One of the things we remember is that we set aside these simple earthly gifts, and we ask a special blessing on them. And so let me do that. Lord God, as we spend some time this morning, we ask that your Spirit would fill these simple elements and make them for us your body and blood of Christ, that we might be refilled and remade new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The body of Christ, which is shed for us. Please remain seated as the bread comes around. Friends, let us eat and remember the love of Christ refreshed in us today. Amen.
Thank you.
We normally have, this is a picture, which is a beautiful picture. Flowers are a biblical symbol of growth and provision. In Luke chapter 12, consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And we have some plants for sale out the back too, as you go through. Let's say this together. Lord, sometimes during moments of doubt and weakness, we need to be reminded that you've chosen us. Help us discover your love within us, to bring strength during the hard times. Enable us to see ourselves as you see us, loved and accepted, one of your children. Fill us so that we may continue to be your witness in this world, to bring hope and love. Amen. And the next one is, I like this one too. God in community, holy in one, continue to create, continue to speak, continue to breathe for us, on us, through us, for us, until we can do it for others. Amen. Now, kids, it is time for Sunday school. Yeah. Don't really need a stand, I've got a table. But it was really a great effort, everybody, yesterday. For those of you either who were there yesterday, provided the resources for yesterday, big effort. We just need to try and get our position in the year calendar, you know, sort of to bump Clipsal 500 or, you know, Black Friday or Sonic Monday or whatever it is. What are they thinking? All right. Hey, look, so this has been a very interesting series. So we're up to 5 in our Her Story series. As we've looked at different women in the Bible and their legacy of faith and hope and trust. And today, I guess, in many ways, we're going back to the oldest books in the Bible. Like, seriously. And we're going back to the first chapter in the oldest book in the Bible, looking at Adam and Eve, and particularly trying to focus on Eve as well. Adam and Eve were created by a God who loved them. And that relationship was a very intimate relationship. And it was a connection. It was a mutual relationship. And here we have a story of the 6 days at least. And what happened on the 7 days? Rested. Yeah, so he was resting so much that he even put a slide up there. So we have the 7 days of creation, or 6 days of creation plus 1 day of rest. And it's a really clever little picture where it looks at, you know, the world being created, the sky and the air and the waves. Then we have the land, then the universe, the planets, the sun and the moon. We have all the creatures on the earth, or in the sea, and then on the earth. It's a really powerful, I guess, attempt to try and figure out how it is we got here. Now, the Jewish or Hebrew recording of Genesis and the creation story is not the only creation story in the world. In Mesopotamia, they had a number of similar creation stories, although the Hebrew Genesis retelling is very different. It has a different emphasis. While they have a similar sort of flows with how humanity is created and the relationship, in some of them, there is like a Game of Thrones or a House of Thrones war, civil war that happens in the skies with the gods, and the planets are made out of the bodies of the slaughtered gods. So it's very different sort of focus. In the Hebrew scriptures, there's really an intentional focus on the relationship between God and the world. There was no mistake. There was no, oh, what am I doing? There was an intentionality that reflected God's relationship with the world and God's relationship with creation and God's relationship with man and woman, with those he's created. And as much as people try and find the Noah's Ark, I don't think they've found it yet, there has been lots of biblical affirmations about the ways in which the people have tried to make sense of their life in this world. And that's really fundamentally, as soon as we were born, most people try and figure out, who am I, where am I going? And this is a question that for human beings has been a part of our existence forever. And so some of these earlier scriptures are 3,500 years old. So again, these people are trying to wrestle with, where do we come from? How do we get here? What is our purpose, role, and meaning? What are you supposed to do with all this planet and stuff? The Bible says some really key things. From the outside, the Bible says there is a connection and responsibility we have not only with God and with each other, but in the planet in which we live. And I think in probably the last 20, 30 years, there's been a real move environmentally, hasn't there? As people have tried to recognize, actually, you know, we're soiling our own nest, to put it crudely. How do we actually do something that means that our next generation will have a world to be looked after? So there are some elephants in the room in the Genesis account. I really can't avoid them. And so let me pick out some of the things that first come to mind. Now, the Bible and often some of the practice of religion has become or ended up being very patriarchal. That means man-dominated. And fellas, look, we have to put our hand up. Yep, that is true. And it's not only in Judaism, Islam, but also in Christianity. There have been a number of, well, we don't have to go far back, and women, you could probably give me some examples, of times in which, because of a person's gender, they were marginalized or told to be quiet. One of the things I love about the United Church is 50% of the ministers in the United Church are actually female. We ordain women because we value their role, and we say, hey, you know what? You are of equal. There are some denominations in the world today who still haven't got to the point of allowing women to preach, let alone do communion. Or, yeah, it's just so. Whatever you want to say about the United Church, there are some things we have done very well. And I think that's such an important thing. And so 2,000 years after Jesus came into the world, we're trying to live out the message of equality for all through what we do here. Now, I've read some different people, and as I prepared the sermon, and one of the female authors really said that, you know, the story of creation is actually a very positive story. Because God creates male and female at the same time as equal. There's no gender roles. There's the same instructions. Be fruitful and multiply. Man and woman should become one flesh. Sexuality is not evil, it's a divine command. Eve eats fruit from the tree after making a reasoned decision. Shares with Adam, who heard the conversation with the serpent. Adam ate freely, though God prohibited him as well as Eve. So, in other words, it's a bit like my daughter. I packed away one of her things for camping. She went 2 weeks out bush the other day with her school camping, and I found this thing, which was one of her water containers, and I put it somewhere. And she said to me, "Dad, I need to take this back tomorrow. Where is it?" I said, "It's probably in the shed somewhere." And I said, we looked for it for half an hour. And I said, "Look, why don't you just go back to the uni and say, your dad's lost it?" And she looked at me and says, "Dad, really? Who actually ever accepts that as an answer?" And it's a bit like Adam saying to God, "Well, she made me do it." It's a bit like Eve saying, "Well, the snake made me do it." I mean, who seriously is going to accept that as an excuse? I mean, like, seriously. If my daughter had figured it out, surely Adam and Eve had. It's a bit like that great quote, you know, Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the serpent, and the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. I know. So it's a really interesting thing, isn't it? And one of the fascinating reflections that a lot of women scholars have done about the story of Adam and Eve, because a lot of women have, as a gender, have been hammered because of Adam and Eve. But actually, when we look at the story, there's not a lot. There's a lot of mutuality and a lot of collective responsibility that is in that story. So the question is, well, where does all the bad press come from? And there was a great little article I read from Susan Greiner who said, "Did Eve fall or was she pushed?" That's very clever. Did Eve fall or was she pushed? The first woman has been blamed for a host of ills, from inspiring witches to being the very source of sin. Tracing the roots of Eve's bad reputation leads not to Genesis, as many people assume, but to an obscure set of texts known as the Pseudepigrapha. I almost got that. But it's basically a series of books written before Jesus or 200 years after Jesus, which were really considered to be fanciful. And some of these books were really hostile to women. And there was a book, The Apocalypse of Abraham, books of Adam and Eve, the Testament of Moses, various Gospels like the Gospel of Nicodemus, the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Judas even. So all these books were weighed up and measured to see if they were worthy to be included in the Bible. And a lot of them fell short because they were just so bizarre. Like there was one story, I think, from the Gospel of Thomas where Jesus was bored sitting by a lake, so he gets a bit of mud and makes a duck, and a duck comes to life. And there's others where women are just so vilified. And there's one reference that the only way a woman can be of value if Jesus turned them to a man. So it's just obscure stuff, which you can see why you've never heard of the Gospel of Thomas or Nicodemus or the Book of Adam and Eve. So there's a real sense in which some of the bad press comes from the cultural stuff in which has emerged. So what can we say about Eve? This is actually a painting from Ethiopia, a Coptic church in Ethiopia. And it is a magnificent building full of magnificent paintings and icons from thousands of years in Ethiopia. It's such a captivating image. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. I reckon the next slide, if we click that through. And I'm not sure if you could ever imagine finding yourself in nature. Have you ever gone for a walk in nature and it's just been so overwhelmingly pristine and captivating, caught your attention? I mean, like, have you ever found yourself just marveling? Maybe it's the sun rising or the sun setting, or maybe there's fog or mist over the hills and you walk into the fog on a... Or maybe you're driving up the freeway down into Lobethal and there's just fog. Looks like a bowl of soup. Have there been times when you've been so captivated by nature? And I just love that reference. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. Such a personal, intimate an account. This slide here is... Oh, This is a picture of some trees that were discovered 28 years ago, 30 years ago. The Woolamine pine. Does anybody know what a Woolamine pine does? Looks like? I've got one at home. So I look at them and they grow their branches that big. So they grow a branch, and then they grow an extension of that branch. No wonder they went extinct. But, you know. But here is, a walker found this whole pristine gully close to Sydney, full of these prehistoric trees. And over time they got the seeds, and one of the botanists, Kathy Offord, managed to propagate them. And so that's how I've ended up with a Woolamine tree at my home. But I often think of Eve and Adam. What must it have been like to have been part of nature and creation in that relationship, which was pristine? I mean, humankind didn't suddenly become a million. We would have started small. However we started small. And the nature and the world would have been pristine. Could you imagine just going up to any creek and just drinking out of any creek? Wow. So what must it have been like? God in the garden. An author called Beth Norcross said, "The natural world is our first way of knowing God." When we stop and think about it, that's really Adam and Eve's experience in the garden. The beauty was that sense of connection in nature. Beth says that long before there were synagogues and mosques and churches, our first way of experiencing or knowing God was outdoors. In the fig tree, the burning bush, living waters. Jesus often used familiar imagery to get this point across to the people in his time, who lived in close proximity to and intimacy with the non-human natural world. And I think that's an important thing for us all to know, isn't it? Like, the next slide has two little quotes, both of which I like because they're trying to give us a different way of looking at creation. "Since the universe is before our eyes like a beautiful book in which all creatures, great and small, are as letters to make us ponder the invisible things of God." So that was written 400 years ago. "In which all creatures, great and small, are as letters to make us ponder the invisible things of God." That's a beautiful image in itself, isn't it? And this other one from Tagore is a poem. It just, "The morning sea of silence broke into ripples of bird songs, and the flowers were all merry by the roadside, and the wealth of gold was scattered through the rift of the clouds, while we busily went on our way and paid no heed." Isn't that the irony of our world today? We're surrounded with a universe that is so mind-boggling. And some of the photographs that are coming back from the Hubble telescope, which just give us a universe beyond our brain's capacity to understand. And we head toward Christmas and get immersed in all the stress of that and forget of the big picture. And part of the Eve and Adam experience we're having today is reminding ourselves that their first encounter with God would have been through creation. And part of our invitation as Christians today is to continue to experience creation as God's gift to us as well, as we journey together. Well, I want you to pause for a second. There's a few things that we can take from the reading, like we're all made in the image of God, male and female. Despite the dramas, God is still committed to us. Adam and Eve reminded us, and Dave's dodgy maze was really good at, you know, not turning back and keeping persistent, as the kids suggested. But as I don't know if there's a particular place. How many people like going to the ocean to reconnect? How many people like wandering through the trees? How many people like I don't know, give me some options. What are some other options? Trees, ocean, paddling, river. Yep. What do you do for creation? to connect with God in the world? Give me some answers. What do? Gardening, yes.
Mowing.
Okay, I guess there's some good outcomes. You can see it come back to life. All right, take a moment, turn to the person next to you, or do some personal thinking. What is one thing you're taking away from today, Adam and Eve, or Eve in particular, whatever? What are you connecting with? You got 20 seconds, go. Well, let me share a prayer as we conclude our service with a song. Lord Jesus, thank you for the creation in which we live. Lord, we ask for the continued openness and affirmation of your love for all, regardless of age, gender, or challenges in life. We continue to open our lives to be a welcoming community. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Would you stand and join us as we sing our final song, please?
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
As you go from this place, remember next week we've got sausage sizzle and barbecue, yes, barbecue, sausage sizzle next Sunday, so hang around for that. And that'll also be the kids family fun event, so if you've got some kids, grandkids, bring along, we'll have some fun, be able to celebrate a bit more of Christmas. You're clearing off? Yep, for some, all right. So we'll say some prayers next week.
Yeah, we're not sure if we'll be here. Just what David's talking about, and for those of you who know about Henry, Ben, our son, his wife, and the boys are flying to Melbourne on the 13th of December. Henry will have his pre-admission day on the 14th, and the surgery will happen a day or two after that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if we'll be here next week.
Yeah, and he's only a little squirter.
He's 4 months old.
4 months. Almost. So we keep him in our prayers too in the family. So, anyway. Well, go from this place and know that the love of Christ goes with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Heaven and nature sing.